Hello. And welcome to the Bus Factor. This week, Stephen is meant to be back, but he's sick like a little baby. So instead, we've got old-time favourite. How would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey, it's Dave Carrot here. Nice to be back after co-hosting again, after a little break. It was maybe my second one.
Yeah, I think second or third, because I think you did one with me, one with Stephen.
Or was it just one with Stephen? Or have I done two? Is this my third then? This could be my third and a guest, so who knows?
Oh, yeah, you were also a guest. Yeah, that's right.
So maybe someone in the comments can go back and listen to them all on fast forward and figure out how many I've actually been on.
Yeah.
But then again, this is Bus Factor 20...
Oh, 23, I think. Maybe. We've done a few.
Yeah, practical jokes getting out of control, right?
So this is probably the last live show for the year. So that's what I believe I just tweeted out. Tweet. And it's out. Oh, yeah, we're trying to get the audio because we can't have two monitors at the moment, so it's kind of bad. But, so last live show for the year. I think I said month before. Well, it's last live show for the month. But next week, I'm planning on doing a... like highlights reel, maybe. I just need to make it out of everything. There's a lot of footage to go through.
It'll be fun to see, right? Yeah, all the red lights.
Oh, I wonder if it's
excited about the golden goose.
Oh, I've already cut the golden goose.
If we're just put the golden goose on repeat for an hour.
Yeah, it's like those like making bacon pancake 10-hour mixes. Just watch the same thing over and over. Here we are for the Bus Factor. We've got a few stories today. And update the red light runners. So I saw one during the pre-show, so we'll just count it as one. I think I got three last week.
And another important question, can people actually hear the audio this week?
Oh, yeah, is the audio going? I think it is, because... that green bar that's really obvious now, but last week it just wasn't doing anything. But like, I didn't know it could. I don't know. I did the intro 3 weeks in a row. Three times in a row. Yeah, three. Oh, man. It's the last day. Jackson's there. Jackson's one of our proud patron sponsors. There'll be a bus. We will guarantee a bus will drive past.
Well, you now need to guarantee there's two buses are going to drive past.
Oh, yeah, because someone else is paying for it.
Oh, there's a bike going through a red light.
There's a bike? I think we did actually change it because Stephen didn't like that I was counting lots of red lights. So he's called it bus red light runners. So I guess only buses?
Only buses.
Right, there's one bus. We've fulfilled half of our patrons.
And
two buses. This one's going to stop. We've actually got three. We need more patrons, people. There's too many buses. There's too many buses. I'm a bus says, where the bus is at? Where is the buses at? We've got two buses lined up. You can probably only see one because of the chat window. Oh, it's so much better being able to actually see the road in, like, real vision. Because last week I was up the coast. That was the jankiest setup ever. But we know it's possible. The next time we go to a conference and there's no buses, we can do it. We can do it.
The next conference I think talked about was most probably B-Sides Canberra. And I think Kylie has said there will be somewhere where... you can video buses.
They're literally on the bus route, aren't they? So yeah, that should be good. I think she even said there was a red light. Oh, what's happening with the video?
Oh no, it's always
Yeah, it should be like a couple of minutes delayed. We got people in the office watching the video. Yeah, it should be delayed. It will be hard. So we've got an hour to fill for our last show. And not many news stories.
Yeah, so if anyone would like us to discuss or something or share links in the chat, that would really help the news.
I think we can even do Skype. I'm not too sure, but I think Skype is possible. So Skype might be weird because I've got the only monitor. So who knows? With the audio setup, it might come out of the speakers and... Oh, I know. The bus factor. It's so janky. I love it. What do you want to talk about first, Dan?
Well, do I talk about the left-hand column or the right-hand column first?
Well, we've got the two columns, the bus lane and the tech lane. Maybe the tech lane first. Need to work myself up to that other story.
All right, so maybe start at the top. Twitter, in just scraping in by the end of 2017, has actually implemented some 2FA other than SMS, which is great. Unfortunately, they don't do U2F from what I understand, which is makes me sad because U2F, I think, is where it's at for sort of web-based 2FA.
Yeah.
Big problem is if you go to the UI, now I can have proper 2FA like TOTP, and you go, all right, so I'll disable my phone number on Twitter. Twitter decides to turn all the 2FA off. So it's like one of the things about having these other options is you can finally turn SMS off with all of its inherent problems.
Yeah, so like SMS 2FA has its issues. What are some of the issues with SMS 2FA for some of our listeners that might not
Some
understand.
Of the listeners, like if you just walk into a phone store and say you've lost your phone, can I please have a SIM card with the same phone number? You know, they can some of the time just give you a new SIM card with no sort of ID requirements, depending how well you social engineer them and how whether you get the right person who's trying to be helpful or a stickler to the rules. Yeah,
definitely in New Zealand that's possible. I haven't actually tried that in Australia because Australia is weird and actually requires ID for just any SIM card, which is odd.
Well, most countries other than New Zealand require a photo ID to get a SIM card.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I've definitely got ID. Oh, we got...
That's definitely a red light.
That's the reddest I've seen. Bus account. We'll bump that up to 2. I've definitely done the walk into a store and I've got my own number on a SIM card, but without ID. And then I was like, wait, what just happened? Like, I feel I should have got an ID here.
Yeah, well, I did try it recently-ish for my talk at ChristchurchCon, but in that case, all the cell phone people I had were all kind of knew what they're doing at the stores and didn't want to give me the card. But previously, when I needed to go from like a micro to a nano, yeah, I just rocked up and said, I need a new SIM. And they just did it, and I said my phone number, and then they said my name and date of birth, and they asked me whether my name and date of birth on file
was
correct.
I love when
that
happens. I had the IOD call me up the other day, and they're like, is your name Hugh Blah Davenport? And I'm like, yes, but you shouldn't be testing that. Like, you shouldn't be telling me the answer. And they're like, what? But is that your name? I'm like, yes, but I could say yes even if it wasn't. And they didn't quite understand.
Support. I had the same thing. My bank was ringing me about something, and then they rang up, or they'll try ask me wanted to ask me the security questions when they rang from a private phone number.
Yeah,
that was really bad. And then the worst part was, I'll ring you back through the 0800 number you got listed, and the person just wrote a note on my account saying, oh, you need to, you know, you forward them through to me. The problem was it rang up the 0800 number. The help desk people the service center people could see the note of who I need to call. Problem was that person wasn't in their internal phone book.
Oh.
So they couldn't actually forward me back through to them. And then ended up been forwarded through to their team lead who did have a phone number listed, but then that person was out on smoko and then they tried to run back and say, oh, and then they asked me the question again. It's like, no, this whole thing started and then you need to have, not fun.
It's kind of weird. Because to them, it's probably just a nuisance that you like made them go through all the effort, but they should be making people go through that effort. Because, yeah, otherwise, where's the security at?
I think we got one. Yeah, that's a red.
Oh, he's going to be stopped in the middle.
Stopped as well, yeah.
Yeah, right across the middle. Yeah. Who cares about pedestrians? We'll bump that to 3. Oh, look at all those pedestrians having to walk around the bus.
Yeah, I think even some of them, I think that little girl was giving the driver the stink eye for like making him walk around the bus and blocking the pedestrian crossing.
If buses were smaller, I'd probably kick them, but they're quite big.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bother.
And also the driver doesn't have to pay the panel beating bill.
No. They don't care. It's probably a sign of how good a driver they are, how many dents they have in the bus.
Yeah, there's this place crossing on my way to work where the way they've set up the arrows, you get a lot of the arrows and the traffic light arrows, and a lot of cars don't see the arrows, so they'll turn across a green crossing when they're actually on a red arrow, but they only see a green in front of them.
Yeah.
And I've had a few cars, and they get kind of a bit aggro when you bash them when they walk past, drive past when you're like trying to cross on a green man. No. That was a heavy, heavy orange.
Yeah.
Not quite the red. A long one. Yeah.
They might have extended it. Because,
Did they fix the problem by.
We have actually emailed Metlink. Well, I've emailed Metlink about the bus factor because we've been doing this like 6 months. Can you believe 6 months? It's. Oh, just craziness. I should probably back up my story and verify that it is actually 6 months, but I think it is.
Well, it was July because week 2 was Hacker Summer Camp week.
Yeah, that's right. You were going to try and set up us a live screening in Vegas.
Yeah, that never quite worked out because the speaker's party at DEF CON was kind of that, and that kind of actually the bar staff had like closed the bar by the time this would have bus factor would have started. So
yeah,
and there was also no TVs in the room, so
time zones for you. But yeah, so I emailed Metlink just saying, "Hey, for the last 6 months, every Friday, just literally every Friday, buses run red lights, into the double digits most of the time. Here's some video for it," and they're like, "The video quality and the angle is terrible. That's all we're going to do." Literally.
Yeah.
They actually said, "We've sent it on to NZ Bus, but like, we've done all we're going to do, and like, they're probably not going to do anything else. We can do it on a case-by-case basis." So I'm going to ask them what information they might need, and over the break, we might set up an automatic system to just send them 100 emails a day. Should be entertaining.
And I assume if you're sending them an email, you also YouTube it and tweet for the people who want to follow along at home as well, right?
Oh, definitely. There'll be tweets going out. Tweets going out, emails going out. Who knows what else might be going out. Oh, that's not working.
What are you trying to do? I see what you're trying to do. Hugh's trying to organise another beer.
Oh, I am. Oh, there's one there. Is it like real warm? That's quite warm. Oh, fuck, I missed one.
Oh, that's
how many did we miss?
That's a red. Yes. And it's hard paying attention to what's going on in the office and talking and looking at the buses. Yeah. Which is why we need the automated system, I think. Because then we can just...
Fuck, is that working? No, that's still on...
that's still on the pre-show.
Yeah, that's still on the pre-show.
It's
probably far too late. Yeah, that's already... Whoa, we've got fucking ads. I should be signed in. Need to fix that.
No.
Thank you.
Or you get ads when you start any Twitch stream?
Yeah, but I should be signed in on OBS, like as the Bus Factor, and we don't get ads then.
I don't know. Who knows? But they're just going to show you an ad because they can. Maybe install an ad blocker on there because that will stop the ad showing up.
Or you can't install an ad blocker in OBS.
Isn't it in Chrome or anything?
So we are logged in. Yeah, I can see messages as us. So, yeah, I don't know why we got things. We'll do a quick replay after this one. And I need to add up one for the bus. So we'll do a replay. That looks like it's working. And bus count. 4. I should look into how to like automate a lot of this, because if we're going to make this automated process, we need the bus back to be automated. It just needs to, like, a bus runs a red light and just a noise plays and while we're talking and we're like, oh, what's happening? Okay, something happened.
And switch to the replay mode so we can actually see it.
Oh, fucking live replay, instant slow-mo. Read out the number plate.
If we had a better camera, we could maybe OCR the actual number plates as well.
Yeah, so I think the way Steven was thinking was we use this shitty camera, throw it through OpenCV to work out when something's running a red light, and then trigger his camera to take some stills. And so we got stills of a bus running a red light with the number plate in, like, high quality.
Yeah. Or someone could donate us, like, a 4K camera.
Yeah.
With adjustable focus.
Hint, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, if anyone wants to get the Bus Factor a Christmas present.
Oh, Christmas is just around the corner. Most other security podcasts have stopped for the year. But the Bus Factor stays strong.
And this is live as well.
Oh, right? This isn't live.
Pre-recorded. This is live.
I don't know how to test it's live, apart from, like, okay, we can see a railway station number 24, bus number 728 here at 5:19 p.m.
Well, could be like the first episode when you have fans standing out there with signs.
Oh, yeah, that was good. We've still got the sign.
Yeah, it's in the little Hall of Fame, little corner.
There's actually not many ways to prove this isn't pre-recorded, apart from, like, one of our fans actually watching. I don't know. I could move the camera, but then, like, I could just be pre-recorded moving the camera.
Oh, we also interact with some of the comments put actually on
I said hi. With comments, yeah, so the comments have come through. So, yeah, the comments are there. I could, like, superimpose it. It's probably possible.
But currently no one's actually said anything that we could actually interact with. Yeah. I think that would be pretty good, though, when we actually interact with what people are saying in the chat.
Yeah.
But then again, people could claim that they are our friends or something, or our own bots we're interacting with.
I like how we're trying to convince people that we're not pre-recorded, but it makes it sound like we are. But we're definitely not. We are live. Multiple people have seen our live setup, like at Big Size and Chicken. We had our whole kit there.
Yeah, and people actually, when we've been in the office, have stood there and looked it up of us actually while we're talking as well. You and Stephen have been talking, not me so much.
Yeah. Have seen that.
Yeah, you could even, on the little bit behind where the chat window is, you could go get a chair, sit down and actually watch us and watch the buses live if you really wanted to be a fan. Maybe we'll see that in 2018, someone sitting, having front row seats.
Roughly where the coin was that one time.
Yeah.
Oh, that was orange. Red. Nah, no more. Keep forgetting I can't whisper. cuts out if I whisper. The gate's like too low. Hello. There was a very loud whisper, but it keeps cutting out.
No, I didn't see a green bar while you're trying to whisper then.
Hello.
Oh no, you know you're getting a green bar now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really loud whisper. It's probably really weird to people. I should stop. What were we talking about? Buses. Yeah, automating buses. The bus factor can be fully automated. Eventually, we will just take all the recordings of Stephen and I, shove it into a Markov machine, and we don't even have to be here. We can just, like, comment on shit remotely. Do you think they'll work?
Well, actually do the tech news as well.
Yeah, the tech news, all the commentary. I reckon a Markov machine could kind of do it.
Well, on weeks where there happens to, when there's lots of news sort of in a web page form that we can refer to.
Yeah, there wasn't any of that this week. So we've actually had to do our own research. Nah, we tend to do our own research anyway, but we didn't have a large fallback to fall back on. Tried to get some guest speakers apart from office mates. Didn't happen. Everyone's going on holiday.
Yeah, and people seem to put actually being on a flight above starring on the bus factor.
I know, right? I can't believe it. Next year, though. Oh, I've said next year. Yeah, we'll be back next year. I guess.
Well, you've got to do B-sides camera, so you've got to keep going until then at least, because you've told Kylie that you're going to do it, and I don't really want to. Yeah, you. Yeah, Christchurch Kyle, it was quite clear with Kylie that you were going to do it at B-sides camera.
I need to like work that out. And
I want to say April. I've bought my ticket for it.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing quite well. They've got over 1,000 tickets sold. And I think they're capping out at about 1,500, I think they were saying on the Twitters.
Nice.
So, yeah, if you haven't bought your B-sides ticket and you're thinking about going, should really think about at least buying the ticket.
Is that the next conference? When's SciScan?
SciScan's before it and CrikerCon's before that.
And CrikerCon, yeah.
Yeah, and there's Unrest, maybe. I think each month we hear it's going to be next month, so.
Yeah.
So Unrest is a month away until next month when it'll be a month away again.
Yeah, maybe. It might just be next November. Who knows?
Yeah. That would be... Yeah, I did like Unrest. Yeah. I do like Melbourne. And there's Oz SetCon coming up in June as well. I think they're CFP open this week.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
That's a real fun conference. Really enjoyed that this year.
There's a lot of conferences, a lot in Australia. So if you can manage to get to a single Australian conference, if you're in New Zealand, then that's good. Otherwise, if you can make it to a New Zealand conference, if you're in Australia, that's also good. Because like traveling and like intermingling is good.
Yeah. Really enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, there's a really good, fun scene, I think, in New Zealand and Australia, and a good bunch of people. And that's...
Yeah, it's like a little hacker family, I guess people call it.
Yeah. Any other conferences that we should mention that we like going to? I think Stephen's still planning his inaugural ShitCon.
Still planning, yeah.
Yeah, from what I last heard, the planning was going rather shit.
There'll be a whack on around May or something. Platypus Con might be happening again. I don't know. They had a camp last year.
Yeah. Stephen went to that. I think he enjoyed it. It was rather hot though, which he could.
OWASP Day will be coming up.
Yeah, that's
in February.
OWASP Day up in Auckland. That's if you're a sort of more the dev side, it's a really great conference. It's free. Highly recommend keeping an eye out when the tickets go. Well, the tickets don't go on sale. When the tickets become available, sign up and actually go for it.
Yeah,
it's a good day. Yeah.
That girl tried to run across the road, but then she was like, no, there's buses. Oh, Jesus, she wanted to go again. She's in jandals. Oh, like strappy shoes. Back on her phone. Now she's going. Yeah.
She's running, even though she'd have a green about now, wouldn't she?
I predict she'll be dead in the next 5 years. Like, unless she, like, learns to not look at her phone.
When you're crossing the street. That's why I always try to make a point of putting my phone down when I'm about to cross the street.
Like, she tried 3 times before she was like, yeah, I'm going to go now, but I'm going to run because I'm not 100% positive. Yeah.
And I think that was one of the ones that when she finished crossing, the green man came on, just roughly knowing the cycles around here.
Yeah.
I really hate that when you cross a street and then as soon as you've done it briskly.
Oh, you just have to stick with it because otherwise you look like crazy.
And then you get the green man like a step before you finish crossing. It's like, rah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like sometimes you learn it, but then sometimes like they're different to what you think they are. Because, I don't know, sometimes they have different ones different times of days.
I had that once on the route I sort of walked to work was, I think was they changed the light cycle. They had signs up for the drivers to say the light cycle would change, but nothing for the pedestrians to say the light cycle had changed. So you're going, oh, yeah, I was going, oh, yeah, those cars have just gone. They've got the orange, they've got the red. I can go now. Oh, no, why don't I have a green and why are their cars driving in front of me? And, yeah, there's no sign to tell the pedestrians who know the cycle has changed. And, I mean, people shouldn't be preempted in any way, so you shouldn't be need to tell them that the cycle's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What next? Should we talk about some Windows 10 shit?
Yeah, Windows 10, yeah.
So I was reading. 3 weeks ago now, we had the patch Tuesday, and one of the bugs was the Windows 10 exploit, where you can get remote code execution with the old WPAD, the something auto configuration.
Auto proxy auto discovery?
Yeah, auto discovery. Windows proxy auto discovery. I'm going to lock that in. It's probably wrong, but I think the last three are right.
Does that still exist? I mean,
it still exists. Oh, I think we got one. We got one here.
Yeah. Newlands this time. So sending messages to go
BWL something. I don't know. It's a Newlands bus.
And see, Metlink sending something to go to NZ Bus would not help in that instance because that's Newlands, which is owned by Mana, which is not owned by NZ Bus.
Ooh.
So, you know, they would not know about it.
Does Metlink still organise that? Yeah, Metlink
organises all the Wellington routes.
Yeah.
All the public transport in the greater Wellington region, which sort of goes up to Waikanae and across to the Wairarapa and all the way down to the south coast.
Yeah. Whew. It's a big region. So this WPAD still exists. So, like, way back in, I think you were saying KiwiCon 1.
KiwiCon 1, Mr. Butler.
Yeah.
Talked about it. Which I think that was a goose.
That was a goose. Yeah. I reckon we're going to get one. They're still backed up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another one.
So this one, he hasn't run the red light yet, but 2480 is the bus number.
It's orange.
And that's bus number 6.
Yeah, and when it went red, he was still across the crossing. He had not finished exiting the crossing.
He also entered before there was space on the other side.
Yeah,
which
he entered an intersection that he could not safely exit.
Just against the law, I'm just going to say. But Metlink, as we've previously mentioned, have done all they can. I should mention all buses have black boxes and dash cams in them. But Metlink have done all they can.
Oh, they do say they sometimes spot check intersections.
Oh, they spot check. I think they mentioned a word. I should bring up the email. They mentioned a word that made me think they do it fucking every 6 months. They confirm that Metlink staff have undertaken spot checks at busy intersections throughout. They observe blah. Metlink will continue to do this work sporadically. Now, sporadically to me means we might do it every like fucking year. I don't know. He got through just.
And now he's right down the wrong side of the road on double yellow lines around the buses.
We can't see it on the thing there.
But I saw it with my own two eyes.
And two eyes. I see what you did there. Oh, no, don't hide that. Hide chat window. Yeah, we can see the buses stacked up there. The camera is on a slightly different angle at the moment. Like, every week it's on a different angle. We need to, like, get a proper mount. It's still just, like, blue tack to the window.
Well, and the Venetian blinds. It's more stuck to the Venetian blinds than stuck to the window.
Yeah, we, like, clamp it around the Venetian blinds and kind of just smudge it onto the window and hope it sticks and hope we don't get the old blue tack that's been there. So it has to keep moving slightly to the side until we, like, clean the window. Ah, we should get that window cleaner back.
Yeah, because it does look a bit murky. And also, we're standing in a slightly different position this week. So we're looking through the dirty windows rather than the clean windows. The camera's still looking through the clean window.
Oh, this one.
Yes.
I'm going to call it.
That was red. Head knot. There are two lines to mark the sides of the pedestrian crossing, and they're still covering the far line of the pedestrian crossing.
Yeah, I'm going to call it. Because, like, the thing is, when he first entered the intersection, it would have been red on the other side because they have, like, staggered light changes.
Well, then we still need to film that B-roll at some stage and put it up on YouTube so people can actually understand. I did try to do it once, but I realised I need to actually see both sets of light. You actually need to wait until sort of the evening and it's a bit darker.
Yeah.
Because else, you're like, your camera focuses on the near ones or the far ones and you can't actually see the lights. And it just needs to be darker. So
I've tried it a few times, but I always only think about it in the morning when I'm like coming into the office and I'm like, oh, this looks really fucking weird. I'm just like standing there filming. Because you want to film the entire cycle just to get an idea on how it all works.
Yeah, we also want to get the timings out of it. So we can say, hey, when it turns red, it's been red there for X seconds.
Oh, we got a turner, I think.
Yeah.
That's my bus.
Yeah, but that bus could have been said that was entering an intersection. It could not safely exit because it was waiting for that turning bus.
Yeah. Oh, he's stopped now. Yeah.
Oh, orange.
Not quite.
Oh, very close. Well, yep. Stephen's not here.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Stephen on the chat.
Oh, yeah. Like, he didn't quite get over the second line. So, should we call it? We'll call it.
What could a pedestrian, if there was a pedestrian at the far side of the pedestrian crossing, would have they been blocked by the bus?
Oh, yeah. But it wouldn't have turned green until the second line. I've counted it. We're now up to 8. So, I think we're quite aggressively counting. But
so WPAD,
I think it's still good.
So WPAD.
Oh yeah, WPAD. Yeah. So Windows 10 had WPAD. With 34. Cool.
Oh yeah, we're saying what Bo did back at KiwiCon 1.
Yeah. So do you want to walk through that? Yeah. And I'll walk through the current stuff.
So basically, how WPAD works is your web browser, like IE, could just figure out where the corporate proxy is. And first it'll sort for we'll search wpad.mydomain.co.nz and then it'll go, oh, that domain doesn't exist, so I'll search for wpad.co.nz. And so Bo back then decided to register wpad.co.nz, wpad.net.nz, wpad.org.nz, and he was just getting a whole bunch of traffic talking to him and basically downloading the proxy pack file from him, and that would basically, he could configure the proxy. So that would have been like 11 years ago when everything was HTTP. So he could just intercept it and man in the middle of everything. I don't think was mandatory HTTPS back that far.
No, I don't think so.
Because I think that was pre-FireSheep as well. Yeah. So before FireSheep, everything pretty much was HTTP, except banks pretty much.
But even then, like, they didn't have pinning or anything. So you can still intercept the HTTP and, like, just keep it on, like, SSL strip style.
Yeah, and they'll still popular. And, so New Zealand, the .nz people are actually quite proactive in that, and they've put wpad.co.nz and wpad.org.nz and wpad.nz in a special list that just no one can actually register now.
Absolutely no one.
Yeah, so as a safety thing, there's nothing good can come of people having wpad.co.nz, so we'll just register it because Microsoft's decided that they're going to have this auto discovery thing,
yeah,
which is going to climb up too far. into the domain hierarchy.
Yeah, pretty much. So the most recent thing, patch this month, that is, so WPAD also, the proxy.pack is just JavaScript. And so it runs JavaScript, and with Microsoft, it runs JavaScript through some DLL that runs as system privileges.
Yeah, because it needs to do WPAD really early, because it needs to be able to find where Windows updates is and where this is and exchange for any of its stuff and blah, everything that could possibly need HTTP or HTTPS or FTP, I think, even.
Yeah, so basically it has to be at the start of any, basically, protocol outgoing, and it needs to be running with high enough privileges to change proxy and network settings on the fly. And it does this through a JavaScript parser, through a DLL. And that has some bugs in it. And moral of the story, if you control the WPAD server, either through like DNS tampering or you just are a malicious admin, you can get remote code execution on any client on that network.
If you're a malicious admin, wouldn't you already have remote code on all your boxes?
Not always. Kind of, but yeah, like not always, but most of the time, yeah.
But this is why I show quite interesting, because this is pre-sandbox, and it's most probably a signed DLL, so AppLocker or whatever will not stop it, or any other sort of whitelisted application, because this is a core Windows library, which pretty much any application whitelisting will have whitelisted. So
yeah. So you get remote code execution as system outside of the sandbox. So like, it's just like the fucking holy grail. It's amazing, and it's in WPAD, which I didn't realize was still in use.
Yeah, well, enterprises still use it because it makes it easier for them, rather than having to use a group policy to push out that. They just sort of...
Yeah.
I think IE chips out of the boxes, auto-detect network settings, which means go look for WPAD.
So really, it could just be any malicious user on the network if they're not using DNSSEC or something like that. And you can just man in the middle of the DNS server, run your own WPAD server, and boom, you've just own the entire company.
Yeah, just call your desktop WPAD, because most DNS and some organizations, even home, has the search domain, which will tell you the pref. The DNS thing. So we'll say like my enterprise.co.nz. So if someone sets up a laptop or desktop called WPAD, it'll become WPAD.mything. .org.nz, and boom. You'll get all that traffic.
Easy. I don't know what we're still doing here running the bus factor. We could just do that.
WPAD all the organizations.
There's better ways to make money. Yeah, what's our time at? 40 past. We got 20 minutes, and we got 2 stories left, I guess. I call them stories. I don't know why they're stories. I guess they're kind of stories. Well, we're reading you a story, but they're things.
We're telling you a story about a thing.
Yeah.
And while we're adding a lot of narrative around it, so it becomes a story, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like the last one, we talked about stuff that happened in KiwiCon 1.
Which would have been 2006,
was it?
No.
2007.
So that's like over a decade ago now.
Yep. That's old. That was back when it was like just in a uni lecture theatre, 100 people. I sadly couldn't make it, but yeah, sounded pretty good. Good beginning roots. I've been to a lot of like grassroots Australian conferences, which is like that, like just 100 people lecture theatres.
100 people lecture theatres, still sort of having their first one, don't quite realise what's going on, and they understand actually how to run a conference and how scary it actually is.
Yeah, there's a lot to go through. So all you people that organise conferences, just make sure you understand how much it is Oh, all you people that go to conferences, make sure you know how much effort is to run a conference.
Yeah, make sure you always thank the people who ran it because, yeah, they've put a lot of time and effort and personal expense and sweat, blood and tears into it. So cheers for all the conferences in 2017.
Yeah, definitely. So I think our next story was kind of insider trading thing. So we're into cryptocurrency. We've had a lot of that recently.
Oh, crypto, as the elite hipsters say now.
Dave just got out of cryptocurrency.
No, I still got my Bitcoin cash.
Yeah.
So I still have some cryptocurrency.
Because you got a bunch from those faucets back in the day. Like, you get cents worth.
Well, yeah, at the time, you know, Bitcoin faucets, you're getting some money. And I think had I cashed out at the peak, I would have had about 520 New Zealand. Unfortunately, I was kind of a little bit greedy, waited a bit too long, and I cashed out yesterday at 25K.
Just wait till next week when it's at 30K.
Yeah, yeah, wait for the bouncing cat or whatever the stock people call it. Yeah, so I think I got about 420.
Yeah. No, it's pretty good for just a faucet. That's like, turn on the tap, $500 runs out. I'll keep turning that tap on.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, this one. Yeah, boom. That's the red.
That's very red, that one, yeah. That's a clear red.
I forgot to read out the number. Sorry, MetLink people that are watching this later. I'm sure you can get the dash cam footage of that bus.
Oh, what's the times they can refer to?
Oh, 5:43 p.m. on the 22nd of the 12th, 2017. On Victoria Manors intersection going eastbound.
That's 2017 in the common era?
In the common era, yeah. I love it. Just so you know, MetLink people, that means like AD. But it's the more modern way of saying AD.
Yeah.
It's a kind of PC way. I like people that say Common Era and BCE.
Before Common Era. Well, it's basically, yeah, what we... Because no one actually knows what the year actually was. And supposedly some people, astronomers have said that, well, it can't be on year zero effectively because the stars that they were following would have not happened at that time of the year, something. So
I mean, yeah. I like it from a religious perspective that like we don't have to think about base everything off when some guy that I don't believe in or care about happen. That's 10. Anyway, that got very religious. I should stop, just in case any of our listeners got offended.
Well, Steve is not here to, like, call us in, because, you know... Well, was it... Steve will be happy it was not political. He wants to stay out of politics.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do politics. It's come, like, kind of political, but, like, not political. We haven't sold out. We haven't got corporate sponsors. We don't talk about, like... We don't have, like, sides to politics, really.
Yeah, we don't have sponsor segments. You could not buy a slot on the Bus Factor.
Oh, one of them you could... Oh, no, you couldn't buy a slot. You could just come watch us on Patreon.
Yeah, so long as you pass the vetting to get into the office.
Yeah, like, if anyone actually pays for that... Oh, orange. Nah. Yeah, if anyone actually pays for that one, we will actually have to talk to the boss and, like, double-check it. But yeah, there's like $50 an episode, so if you're keen, like, let us know. I actually need to upload a bunch to Patreon to actually get the money. It's all up on the busfactor.party. We've got that.
Are you going to actually get back to that topic you're going to discuss next?
The insider trading Coinbase. So Coinbase is... a Bitcoin exchange, yeah. And Bitcoin Cash is kind of, it was a hard fork of Bitcoin. We talked about it here on the bus back to months ago now. Oh.
I thought it was the 1st of August it happened.
Yeah, I think we talked about it when it happened. It was, we've been running this too long. So Coinbase have decided to start Well, they have Bitcoin Cash in their exchange. Are they an exchange? There might just be a wallet. No, I think they've got some exchange capability as well. The thing is, though, the Bitcoin price kind of tanked at the time, and the Bitcoin Cash like rose up heaps. But it was before they did the switch, and they were like, that's weird. And so now they're investigating whether it's insider trading with like their internal staff being like, well, we know this is going to happen, so we're going to try and get rich off Bitcoin. Which, to be fair, if you work in a cryptocurrency company, you probably would try and do that. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got a lot of cash and Bitcoin flowing through there. So, I mean, well, Mt. Gox did the whole bailout with all the coins.
Yep. There's also, like, no regulation on it. So, like, you could just get away with anything.
Well, yeah, just right in the... Just the real small print. I mean, you know, losses happen, right?
Yeah.
Computers crash.
Don't put all your money in crypto. Spread it out. Diversity. It's just general, like, investing tips from the Bus Factor.
Yeah. Though we're not registered financial.
Oh, yeah, we're not registered financial providers.
This doesn't warrant financial advice or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Is that us covering?
We are meant to say something like that. I think we're meant to say it like before we even start. So rewind to the start of the episode. The Bus Factor is not a registered financial advisor. Any advice on financial activities is just about buses. Like, come on. Like, we're the Bus Factor. We talk about buses and InfoSec. Like, don't take... Like us seriously.
Financial advice from us seriously. Like everything else seriously, just not financial advice.
Yeah.
Invest in Bitcoin. Yeah.
Invest.
Yeah, invest because he still has some that needs to cash out, so needs the price to go back up to about 30.
Oh, I've got like a tiny bit. I cashed out most of it. We talked about a couple weeks ago how I would actually be a millionaire if I didn't cash out, but yeah, I cashed out. Oh, well.
Well, and you paid a deposit. Had you waited, you would have got the house rather than a deposit.
Yeah, but wouldn't have had the house. Hard to know. Is that like a pirate center?
Yes, that does look like a pirate center.
Oh, can we get that on replay? That was like a fucking pirate center. where are you, pirate center? Oh, I think you've already gone past. Oh no, Twitch is like replaying. Yeah, there was like
see it live. Unfortunately, no replay for it.
Yeah, someone in a Santa suit with like eye patch and shit on. Oh, orange.
Not quite.
So what do we have? 10 minutes left. We got one story. This was actually suggested by my father.
You remember co-hosting the week before last?
Yeah, he was not last week, the week before, yeah. We did not plan much for that week. It was pretty lax. I mean, last week was pretty lax. It was just me and a lot of technical difficulties. I wasn't even in the office. It was amazing. I'm surprised I managed it. But yeah, the story he suggested to us... there was a company that had some... Oh, what was the company called?
It was a security company, wasn't it?
Yeah,
a
security company called Fox IT.
Which is in Europe, was it?
Yeah, Europe. Doesn't say whereabouts in Europe. Blah, blah, blah. Doesn't actually say where it is. But yeah, some security company in the world, I believe it's Europe. I think I've read it before. They kind of got hacked, but they didn't notice straight away. Oh, a Dutch security firm. So someone could just take control of all of their traffic and intercept all of their traffic. So it was basically a very well-executed Man in the Middle. Lasted for 10 hours, 24 minutes. Bit of a time. So how they did it was the hackers basically gained access to their domain and then generated a certificate for the domain, probably with Let's Encrypt, because, hey, it's free. And at which point all of the traffic was going to their servers, and then they just proxied it through back to the origin servers. And they could decrypt and sniff everything, and they just got so much stuff, like 10 hours worth of stuff to a like decent-sized security firm in Europe. That's good.
Yeah, and it comes down to what Metal was talking about at B-Sides with supply chain stuff.
Indeed.
Yeah, hack the DNS provider.
Yeah, DNS basically controls the internet. I think we talked about it with Russia was going to build like another DNS route.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were trying to take over that. And like DNS literally controls the internet. Like if you control DNS, you can control the internet.
Yeah, and paired with BGP, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Which, yeah, and both highly, highly secure systems. Yeah. Particularly, and well, hey, I think last time I looked with a particular case study that Metal had in his plenary session, was it at B-Sides Wellington? That company still has not changed the people in their DNS registry.
Yep.
And one of them still does not work is still a previous employee.
Yep.
So both say that a bot goes to nowhere.
Yeah, just don't change. Stay classy.
Yeah.
You see with places that like just let their DNS lapse and then you're like, do you understand what will happen if someone like picks it up? I mean, no one would ever do that, right?
Let no, no one would try and get a domain name when it expires. No, never, never, never. I mean, yeah, yeah. You know, there might be a company in Wellington that has sort of closed down a particular brand name of their business and that's possibly coming up for expiry very, very soon and it doesn't look like they are re-registering it, which is kind of funny.
Yep. That happens all the time.
Yeah, when actually if you close down a business unit, you should basically keep that domain name. You should just buy that domain name for 10 years and keep it because you don't want anyone else. Yeah,
just in case, just in case.
Yeah.
Which and is, people will still remember the brands from back in the day.
Well, and also stuff takes a while to drop out of Google and links on blogs or whatever take a while to drop out as well.
Yeah.
So it's also you get the email destined for them as well, right?
Mm.
Which is almost why I'd like an option that I could buy a domain name for life plus, say, 20.
Yeah.
So at least then I know that I can control the MX records past my death.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, when the MX records past my death can be dev null, but just no MX records, but at least then no one's going to be capturing all my emails post my death.
Yeah. How many private emails do you need to hide?
Well, this is just my domains. Do people really want to be? I don't really want people reading all my emails and
yeah, fair enough.
Mailing lists that I get subscribed to, right? Yeah,
fair enough. I would agree with that.
And yeah, and the number of also people who don't know how to use BCC and stuff like that, right? So you get lots of interesting stuff, but it's more my my Gmail that I get a lot of interesting stuff to because it's a really old one, so it's like first name, last name.
Yeah.
And yeah, get a lot of interesting emails there because people kind of forget to add countries or numbers to the end of it. So
yeah,
I just get all their stuff like insurance claims in upstate New York, report cards for people's kids at school. Yeah, actually get invited quite a few stag parties, particularly in the UK. None of them have offered to pay me to fly over. I do ask if who's paying for the flights over to the UK.
Yeah.
And then they realise then they may be emailing the wrong person.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Well,
how many minutes we got?
We got 5 minutes.
And there's no one in the chat this week. Is anyone actually watching this week?
Oh, I don't know. Shall I do the cheeky second tab to work out? It has been quiet. I mean, it's holidays.
Well, Not holidays until 5 o'clock. I mean, all you Aussies should still be at work drinking. It's a Friday afternoon. You should be drinking, watching the Bus Factor. It's not even 5 o'clock there yet. You should be working hard at work.
We don't have many people.
No, we don't have many people, do we?
I would be happy calling it 5 or 6 or whatever.
6? Yeah.
Unless you have anything else.
Well, because also the Venga Bus takes a while to play, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can get a full rendition of that, so.
Yeah. Thank you, Pielo, for Venga Bus.
Yeah. Make sure you're watching, following on Twitter and the YouTube and the website and on Twitch and paying them lots and lots of cash on the Patreon.
We're just everywhere.
Yeah, make sure you go to all
10
that.
10 buses this week.
Yeah, that's double figures. So hopefully Metlink is happy with the double figure count. But oh wait, they don't care about it. So
nah, they've done everything they can.
Yeah.
We got a few null plates from this. So.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe they could do something. Just need to, you know, also if you're in the audience and you want to do a project of some automation and stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Hit them up because they would love help. And all to actually do an automated capture system.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think early days we also called out the numbers as we kind of were half of today. So potentially the highlights reel might have some of that in the reel. I don't know.
Just have to remember to put the date on the on the video clip so you know when it's from.
Yeah, and try and work out when we actually clicked go. Oh, this
waiting for a turner, is it? Yeah, a turner.
Turner.
Well, given how long that bus stops, you can give you an idea about how sort of long and wide that intersection is.
Yeah. Wait for this one. Then
wait
we'll
for the cycle.
Click on Pierre.
Oh, still coming.
Oh, we got another turner.
Oh, another turner.
Oh, no, that might just be a red.
That's a red. He entered an intersection that he could not exit.
Sweet. I'm going to call that.
I'll call that. Yeah. Because he's parked over the pedestrian crossing and
call
they'll
that
be getting
11.
Green very soon.
So that's airport flyer number 91. 2506 is the bus number. EWB 659. Or is that 859?
Oh, and he's even opening the doors on the bus. Oh,
naughty. But yeah.
Yeah. And someone had a pedestrian who had a green crossing person had to walk around the bus rather than across.
Pretty
the pedestrian crossing
have done all they can.
Yeah.
Oh well.
But that is the airport flyer is run by Go Wellington, which is NZ Bus, so they might be able to do something about it.
They might. Oh well. On that note, we'll see you live next year, but next week there might be a little treat for you. Christmas treat. See ya.
Yeah. Until next time.